Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Studio G and the discussions for women in leadership. We will continue our focus this week on how the styles and principles of an Omega leader can influence leadership. Here in the studio this week, we have Lori Beth Jones, speaker and author of 14 books, and the book leading our discussion today, Jesus CEO. Welcome, Lori Beth.
Thank you. Very good to be here.
And representing the business pillar with us is Vicki Arteaga. Welcome, Vicki.
Thank you.
And Elisa Holston, representing the education pillar. Welcome, Elisa.
Thank you very much. Good evening.
Glad you all strolled into Studio G tonight. Thank you for coming. And with us tonight, I have a special guest from Phoenix, Arizona. My sister, Sonia, is here with us. Welcome, Sonia.
Thank you.
She's here to support women in leadership. So this week we're going to celebrate women in leadership. And there's another reminder for us. So this week, as we move into the show and focus on the Omega leader, our concept is around prizing the seed. And if you read the description at all at the beginning of the show, you probably were wondering, what is this about that Lori Beth is going to teach us about prizing the seed? But which would you rather have, a bouquet of flowers or a packet of seeds? Probably most of us would choose the bouquet. But if you are a leader, you realize the limitations of cut flowers, no matter how beautiful they are, and are more apt to spend your time gathering, sorting, and planting seeds. So Lori Beth, as you kind of unpack this package of seeds for us tonight, before you jump into that, can you frame for our listeners this week the definition of an Omega leader and how we're stepping from that position in creating these discussions for women in leadership?
Well, the Omega leader is based on Jesus' style of leadership, which transcends and combines the best of the Alpha style of leadership, which is typically masculine authoritative leadership style, and the Beta feminine cooperative leadership style, which was brought to the forefront by Peter Drucker in his work with the Japanese after World War II. So what I observed about Jesus as a leader is that he was very authoritative at times, and there were other times when he was very cooperative with people, asking them what they wanted, if they were hungry, if they were thirsty. And so he transcended both of those by being connected to his divine source, his Father God. And that's what we're talking about here, is how to be an Omega leader, that you're not trapped in one gender or the other, or even one way of being, but that when you're an Omega leader, you can be the best of all of them. And that's what our goal is.
Wow. Powerful thoughts. And as we all sit around this table tonight in Studio G, obviously we have five women in the room, and we want to focus on some of these characteristics in regards to prizing the seed and not the bouquet. That's kind of a different way to look at leadership, mm-hmm. but unpack that a little bit for us. Where do you want to take your listeners in this thought?
Well, I think that in the American culture especially, we are so obsessed with success and numbers and how many people were in your church. And it's interesting that David was punished because he took a census of his soldiers, and the prophet said, you know, this, your strength is in your relationship with me. It's not in how many people you have in your army. And I think as leaders we forget that. We're big counters. How much is in our bank account? How many employees do we have under our leadership? And so I think it's important to go back to the leader who was so sensitive that he noticed a baby bird that had fallen to the ground. He could count the hairs on an old man's head. He was more interested in establishing a culture where the little things that might be overlooked are the most important things in heaven. So as we were having our pre-show discussion, I was thinking about the aspect of seeds, and one of the things about seeds is they have to be buried in order to grow. He said himself, seed must be buried, it must die in the ground before it can be replicated. And this is really hard for leaders because particularly the fires and the winds, we like to see visible things. So when you take a seed, right, like that's a bad thing. You take a seed and you bury it and plunge it into the ground, you don't see anything happening for a while. And so that's the essence of faith. He even described faith as a mustard seed.
Right.
So I just love that phrase of prizing the seed rather than the bouquet. And even as I was preparing for the show today, I thought, you know, I'm still often in a bouquet mentality. You know, who's handing me the flowers? That's where I'm going to look and smile rather than being out in the back planting the seeds where nobody can see anything going on.
And it's very natural to go to those places, right?
Right.
It's a little bit feeding your need for instant satisfaction. Instead of planting a seed requires patience, requires time and effort and care.
Right.
So can you give me some examples of a seed that an Omega leader plants?
Well, I think there's two. One of them you brought up earlier. And the first one, I think, is the seed of demonstration. Jesus showed his staff on a regular basis, this is what a good day is like. A good day is when you stop and give a glass of water to someone who is thirsty. Mm. A good day is when you stop your driving to the seminar and you notice someone who's fallen in a ditch and you take care of them. A good day is when you make sure that the people around you are fed. A good day is when you pay attention to someone who was not on your agenda but still grabs the hem of your suit jacket. So that's the kind of seed that a leader plants, is a visible demonstration of the little things that make up a good day in that leader's mind. And then the second one, I think, to your point, is investing in people, which is basically a disappearing act on a regular basis. Everything you pour into them, you don't immediately see it back.
Tell me about it.
Yeah. At least in the education pillar, is investing in 750 children and 34 teachers, not to mention the parents, on a regular basis, with great faith and constant joy.
You can say that.
Yeah, I can say that, but you might not say that. So that's what I mean, I think. And that was a very good question, Vicki.
Speaking of education, it's, I think the planting of the seed is what education is all about. And in fact, you emailed me a link today in reference to the test scores that were published in the newspapers yesterday, and accountability is important. Perhaps accountability are the flowers, you know, in this paradigm. But the seeds are the long-term effects. I recall hearing a Young Life leader one time ask, he had given a talk, and he said, well, how many souls were touched tonight by the message? And his response, I don't know. I'll let you know when I get to heaven. You know, you don't often know from the immediate results really what the results are of the seeds that you're cultivating. And so in education, particularly my situation, where in the process of implementing a new curriculum, and just Tuesday I was talking with a team of teachers who are frustrated because they want the flowers. And this curriculum that we're implementing is asking them to invest seeds, the longitudinal results. And it's difficult. The challenge is difficult for them because they're not seeing the results. They're not seeing where it's built on because of the switching directions. So what kind of advice might you have for me to pass on to them in terms of how can one look to, what can I say to them in response to their question? We're not seeing the results right now. This program isn't as good as the previous program. We're not seeing the results.
Right.
What advice might you have?
Right. Well, maybe you could even give them a visible demonstration. You could bring in a bunch of apples, and you could take some of the seeds from the apples, and you can say, you can choose which one you want.
Mm-hmm.
And they might choose a bunch of apples, but you could say, which one over the long term is going to give you the longest result? How many seeds are in an apple? It's immeasurable. It's exponential.
Right.
So to emphasize that this is a long-term approach, and that they are right now farmers. They're not florists.
That's excellent. That's powerful.
You know, and I think that's what God calls us to be. In fact, I have framed a letter that a listener sent me, and it came at a time when I was really doubting my ministry and the work that I was doing. And he sent me a card of people plowing a field, and then a packet of seeds, And he said, I heard you.
Wow.
And I have it framed. Of all the letters that people have sent, I have that one framed as a reminder that we are called to be farmers and florists. And it's not glorious work many times.
Let me write that down. That was really good.
Very good. And almost as profound as started with us in the lesson that Jesus gave, that if your faith is as mustard seed. Wow, that's deep. I mean, we're talking about individual seeds here.
Tiny ones.
Tiny
right,
ones.
Right.
And it's such an amazing moment right now that I'm sensing, you know, some kind of energy around the room or around the table, that everything starts from seed. Or could we say that? Mm. This growth happened.
Including you and I.
Exactly.
All of us.
Powerful.
I'm reminded of a trip we were in Tulum, and Tulum is an ancient Mayan city on the Caribbean. It's just absolutely beautiful. And they were talking about the burial ritual of the Mayan Indians, and they're similar to that of the Egyptian. And they talked about the burial and their belief in reincarnation and eternal life, and that the burial practices were very much like that of the seed. And even when you look at the ancient Middle Eastern, the Mesopotamian, the burial mounds, that they believed that the burial of the body was the same as the burial of the seed. So in a sense, the seed had to die, be buried and die in order for it to produce life.
Right.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Right. And Jesus said that over and over. And I think that, you know, when people talk about nature, and the abundance of nature, and how many minnows there are, and the seeds, the pollen count, and the grains of sand, and talk about nature's abundance being something that's necessary for survival, because so few make it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I think it's really about God's generosity. It's like, here, have this, I can scatter a million stars. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to have to hoard one thing, hoard a couple. And I think, too, that I was thinking today about withholding love and how I do that sometimes with the seed of my love and affection with people, even across the street from me. I don't want to invest in them because I don't have time.
Got no time.
And yet, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And so there's a seed there of just a kind gesture across the street to someone. Those are the things that God measures, not how many books did you sell or how many listeners do we have or any of that other. And I think it's a constant reminder that we have to be brought up against what's the seed in our hand, and are we planting it or are we going to eat it?
Mm-hmm. And the other part of what is the measure of success? I think that's the paradigm shift that you present to us. It's not in the number of books sold. It's not in people that come up to an altar call. It's not in an API score in terms of measurement. It's what is a long-term investment? What is health is enriching one's life, not just in the short term, but also in the long term, and how is that measured?
Right.
Yeah. And isn't that kind of an earth process? You know, aren't we talking about, you know, last week our discussion was on elemental communication. And, you know, when we're talking about seeds and in the ground and growing and planting and reaping and harvesting, I mean, that's our process. So why are we so conditioned to read the morning news or the latest headline as a measure of our own worthiness, of our own success?
Because it's visible. We live in a culture where it must be seen. And they wanted a king. They wanted a king rather than a baby in a manger. And, you know, I'm thinking in an earlier conversation we had with Sonia, she is a very young-looking grandmother to a fine young man. And I asked her what seed investing means to her. And she said she's investing in her own education so that she can be there when her grandson, as he becomes educated. And I think that one of the seeds that we most need to consider is our very own soul or our very own self in totally investing in the mission that God has given us and being willing to be immersed in that and to disappear into that, and regardless of what the results are. And Vicki, I think you had a good question that was coming up along those lines.
Yeah, and it's a little bit linked to what Shelley was asking. So each element is a seed planter, but it might look different.
Right.
And, it's really interesting to see, for example, how would a person that is a water will see how that person plants the seed.
Right.
Versus a fire or wind or earth. You mentioned is the earth kind of more natural to earth.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder, the Omega leader has multiple personalities, or there are a lot of Omega leaders, different trends. How do you see that in other elements?
Well, I think that's a beautiful question, because the wind is really the sower of the seed,
mm-hmm.
the host of ideas, that's why the evangelicals, the people who like to preach and all that stuff. And then the fires also like it because they feel consumed by the flame of that. And I think it was Moody who said, God set me on fire. Dwight Moody, that's what he would pray before he spoke. But it is the earths and waters who do the work with the seeds, and everything they do is invisible. So a water might not necessarily be up speaking and scattering seeds all over the place. But the water, the thing I love about waters are they believe that if they can just touch it, it has life in it.
Sure.
So if I can just reach this person, if I can just embrace this soul, if I can just talk to this person, they believe that life exists. And in fact, it does. There was a seed that was 2,000 years old that came to life when it was applied to water. It had been stored in some tomb or something. Uncovered 2,000 years old, and they're also talking now that we could be frozen and actually go into hibernation and be born again scientifically. So there's all these scientific things that are confirming what Jesus said, which is back to the elements, that we each, some will sow and some will harvest. The fires like the harvest, the winds like the sowing, and the earth and waters do the growing, and they don't get the glory.
I wish you were talking about fire too, but us fires, we have an important part in the seed too. In the, bursting it open. That's true. And in the
like a popcorn.
In the chaparral, like Southern California right now, we're challenged with the fires, the raging fires. Last year, right in our own backyard, we had the raging fires. In the chaparral ecosystem, actually, it only recedes through fire, because it actually is the fire that does burst open the seed. So the only way for that ecosystem to actually regenerate is through fire.
Yep.
So even us fires can burst open the seed.
That's right. You can make it happen. I'm going to cause you to grow.
I'm going to make you a latch on fire. It's going to be hot, but you like.
There's life on the other side.
Some like it hot.
I just had an experience with one of my clients that was so dear to me, and I initiated the idea of us doing adoption loans. It's America's Christian Credit Union. And so the CEO got behind it. He's a double fire, and he got behind it sort of reluctantly, and it's come around now so that we're about to get portfolios of maybe 400 to 900, maybe 1,300 adoption loans. And his eyes were just, and he said, okay, I want you to understand something. Stop the marketing right now. We must put our arms around each family that we are dealing with. He said, we can close the deals.
Right.
But we need to nurture these families. He said, these are sacred loans.
You don't want those to fail.
No. And I just love that about him. That's why I love working with him. Mendel Thompson is just such an example to me of prizing the seed, literally, of a child being planted into a family, and that we are coming along and providing the resources, the financial resources, where otherwise they might not be able to. So it's a great example.
I feel very fortunate to work in a company that it's a culture to prize the human resources as the best element for the company growth and success. And they invest in people. And just looking at Jesus invested in 12. He didn't invest. I mean, he talked to the masses, but the majority of the time he spoke to the 12. But if those 12 talk and invest their lives in another 12, and those 12 to another 12, that's how you reach exponentially the majority of people, and not in a shallow level, but in a deep level. So thinking in business, as you mentioned, some companies think bottom line, cash is king. And the example that you gave right now with this credit union that is investing in people, how can somebody that is starting a business or that is starting a new project invest in people or invest in the planting the seeds when, you know, the economy is bad, you need cash. You need to see something, right?
Right. Well, that's the most important time to invest in people. And I know in just watching your company, you're always going off on kayaking trips.
I mean, they invest a lot. Meanwhile, the education is being kind of slapped and burned.
Yeah. So if you treat each customer as your only customer, then your company is going to grow. And I think for Omega leaders to realize that is the essence, and you've really hit it, the essence of Jesus' Omega leadership style is he poured himself into people. He never wrote a book. You know, he never did anything. So we know he's not on earth. You know, he poured himself into the people, and they went out and did the work, even when he was betrayed. So he had an attrition rate, and not only just losing someone, but having someone come and lead to his death, and he still flourished because of what and how he poured himself into his people. And I'm thinking about the mission. You know, sometimes when people say the books that have sold and, you know, the listeners that we have on the radio show and all that stuff, and I just went out to water my garden, and I love writing. And even today, I wrote 3 essays, and so I'm really staying close to that, even though I don't necessarily have another book deadline for what I'm writing. I am staying close to the altar, and the altar has the stream that turns into the river that runs to the sea. So a stream is like a seed. A spring is like a seed.
How would you balance that, or how would you explain that to someone who perhaps is a disciple of Covey, who says, begin with the end in mind? You know, and leadership, have a vision, have a mission. Your book, The Path, is about having a mission, having a destination in mind, having a path in mind, at least. So how would you balance, or how would you explain the concept of watering your garden, you know, staying close to home and investing what's immediately around you? How does one do that? Because I'm sure that it's not to the exclusion of keeping the end in mind. So how would you respond to that?
Well, I think when you plant a seed, that's all about having the end in mind. Where do you want the tree to grow? Mm-hmm. You know, is it in the right soil? What's it going to look like within, you know, 50 or 100 years? Did you plant it too close to the house? All those different things. So, and there's different approaches. You know, the earth might take seed and plant it very carefully, and the wind is going to be the Johnny Appleseed, which is sort of one of my heroes. And I don't know if he was a legend or a real guy that went all across America just planting apple trees everywhere, singing a song. And I mean, that's a life for me. So I think it's a good question to think about the end, but realize that for leaders, it's the process.
Right.
The end is the vision, but 90% of it is process.
Which takes me back to this whole, you know, position on Earth. For some reason,
Miss Earth.
I'm being Earth tonight. And I think that is challenges for leaders inside organizations, whether it's the church or business or education or government, whatever pillar or industry you represent. It's often process that people feel unappreciated.
Yes.
Or unrecognized.
Oh, good.
You know, so prizing the seed and not the bouquet is a great philosophy or motivation of an Omega leader. But when you dig down into the earth, wow, sometimes people feel outside of the car and not in the driver's seat.
So is there a question there or kind of an observation?
Well, maybe observation, because we keep talking about this process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're getting it gets back to the planting and paying attention to the seed and, you know, prizing the seed, which is all about earth. But how do we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Because the winds and the fires, they want to move quickly and see the results. Did you do that yesterday? No, I haven't gotten to it yet because there's an order in which I have to do things.
Yes.
So
I think that is just great, Shelley, that you brought that up, because it really is. The earths and the waters do not get the recognition. They do not get the patience to grow the seed, particularly when you have so often winds and fires in leadership. And so an Omega leader realizes, knows the seed that is being planted, and has respect for the time that it takes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it takes time for a baby to be born. I used to breed horses. It took forever. Mm-hmm. You know, you just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And so what do you do in the meantime? You do not go back and dig up the seed. You do not go back and agitate the earth and say, well, why have you done this? I don't think you're very loyal. You must not be caring about things.
Or this isn't working.
This isn't working. It shouldn't take that long. So we have just a few minutes left, and I wanted to share, to close with a poem that was a woman in my writing class that I took in San Diego before I got started, and she wrote this poem, and I wanted to share it with. And she said I could do this. It's called Gardener by Ann North. Some of the seeds of hope planted tentatively in the fall have not come up. They lie stillborn and unrealized, somewhere in the spring soil, decaying. The strongest and best ones pushed up through leaves and layers of cold, hard resistance right into the clear blue air and stand there nakedly green, breathing. It's always that way with growing things. Never knowing at the start which will make it and which will fail. But the thing to hold fast to, never to lose faith in, is simply sowing. I love that poem. What are you sowing as an Omega leader? Are you looking for the bouquet? Are you willing to take your trowel and your hand shovel and your seeds and your big floppy hat and go out into the sun and work hard, knowing that God takes glory in the seed far more than the bouquet? So I'm going to hand this over to Shelley for some earth logistical details about the show.
Thank you, Lori Beth and Vicki and Elisa, for another great discussion this week coming from Studio G on the discussions for women in leadership. We are passionate about moving concepts regarding what Lori Beth teaches into forms where women lead. And so each week we come to you from Studio G with new thoughts, new ideas. Some of these are old and some are new, but nevertheless we're passionate about bringing this information to women in leadership. And so next week we will continue our discussion on what it means to be an Omega leader who celebrates. So if you are looking for additional information about Lori Beth, you can go to her website at loribethjones.com. You can also purchase Jesus CEO from Barnes & Noble, Borders, Amazon, if you're looking for a way to break into learning more about the Omega leader styles and the management style of an Omega leader. So have a great week, and we look forward to connecting with each of you again next week. And thank you, listeners, for supporting Lori Beth Jones on Women in Leadership. Goodbye.